know, one of the things that when you come to church and you come looking for something, expecting something, and God does the unusual for you, then you can go home and say, heaven did come down. See, I like that. You know when heaven really came down? When Emmanuel came down. Praise God, heaven came to earth. I love that, and I appreciate the good singing, Gary. I appreciate those that played the instruments, and I appreciate you coming tonight. I'll tell you one thing, if folks didn't come tonight, you can't blame the weather. Man, I'll tell you, it's the most beautiful weather. And I thank God, and I've been praying that God would do unusual things for us. Now, tomorrow night, I trust that you'll be back, you know, and you'll bring someone that doesn't know the Lord. There's a verse in the Bible I'm going to preach on tomorrow night, the Lord will. It always seems strange to me. Jesus said, if you call a man a fool, you're in danger of hell fire. And the Lord willing, tomorrow night, I want to bring you a message, and I want you to bring your Bible. And I believe that we'll be stirred from the Word of God. And after all, that's the only thing, amen, is the Word of God. So I hope you'll be here. Then Friday and Saturday night, we'll have a great service. And I may preach on prophecy. I said the other day, for the last 5 years, there's been more prophecy fulfilled than there's the last 2,000 years. Who had ever thought the Berlin Wall would have gone? I said this a year before the Berlin Wall came down, and I didn't know I said it. I was down with Dr. Rice in Anderson, South Carolina, and I got back the next year. And he said, did you know you said last year the wall had come down? I said, no, I didn't. He said, I got it on tape. Everything you said, I want you to hear it. And he said that you predicted that the common market would meet and have a date which where they'll take over. And I said, really? And he let me hear that. So I want you to be sure to be here. And I believe that God will stir your heart that Saturday night. I tell you, we've had a war, and this war, and miracle after miracle happened, and a lot of good things happened. I mean, it got America praying, and then it got America back to old-fashioned patriotism, where we at flag, you know. I tell you, it's wonderful to think about that. I never wear anything but a white shirt, and I'm not here to talk about you who's got brown shirts on or blue. But a fellow gave me a nice sweatshirt down in Pascagoula, Mississippi, when the war started. I was there on that week on Wednesday night when they started, and I never wear it, but I take it out and look at it. First, I'm amazed that he found one that big. Say amen, Gary. Now, he'll get fat feeds like he's been eating, too. Say amen. But I like it. It's beautiful. But it's got a picture of the flag, and embroidered flag, and you know what he said underneath? It says, let them try to burn this one. Hey man, I like that. I like that. I wouldn't want to be in it if there's a burning it, I'll tell you that. But it did. It made us appreciate this country. Now, we're not perfect, but it's the best country I've ever seen. I'll tell you, I've been a lot of times in different places. My wife, she's very, you know, she's a lot like Gene's wife. She don't make much noise. I have to make all the noise around the house. I told her, I said, honey, you wouldn't get a foot off the ground in the rapture if it wasn't for the supernatural power. But we was talking, and we have a county in Georgia, and boy, the taxes are terrible. And she used to just every year say, Maze, these taxes. I said, yes, and I don't agree with the way what they do with their tax money. But I said, it's a good thing that you look over these highways and you look around this country and thank God that you have the privilege of paying taxes in a country where you can worship, where you can bring your children up and teach your children in freedom. And so I finally got her to leave and go with me on a tour. And we're coming back, and the little lady said in Spanish first and then in English, fasten your seatbelts. We're now approaching the International Airport of Miami, Florida. And tears came in my wife's eyes, and she doesn't say much. But boy, when she got off that airplane, she wanted to kiss the ground. She said, I'll tell you, I'll never gripe about those taxes anymore. Well, I said, I won't either when I get to heaven, because I won't have to pay them. Praise God. It's be wonderful. So I hope you'll be here Saturday night. Now, Sunday will be a great day. I hope that I noticed that 4 Sundays left. We're going to have to work and do our best. All right? Then Sunday afternoon, 2:30. I remember down in Pascagoula in January when the war started. The next morning, listen, the headline said war. 3 big letters, war. And I got to thinking about that, and I'm going to preach on that Sunday afternoon, 2:30. Bible prophecy that'll soon make headlines. Did you know the papers of the world will carry the prophetic headlines? You say, no, they won't. You be here Sunday afternoon, and I'll show you. From the Word of God, right here in Johnson City or Bristol or Kingsport, one day headlines will be thus and so. And then there'll be some more headlines, and they'll all be according to the Word of God. You know, I'm glad. I believe that whatever the Bible said is going to happen is going to happen. Amen? The Bible said the devil's going to be bound 1,000 years. I remember when I was a young boy, we used to sing, "He's in the Jailhouse Now." I've never sung that since I've been saved, but when they put the devil in the penitentiary for 1,000 years, I'm going to sing, "He's in the Jailhouse Now." Praise God. Because he's done a lot of damage, you know that? But you tell people, if they want to know prophecy and what's out yonder, you see, 1/3 of your Bible was written in prophecy. It was written as history in advance. It tells you what's coming, and it's going to come to pass. And you might as well realize that every jot and every tittle right here in this book is going to be fulfilled. It's going to be. So I hope you'll be here Sunday afternoon. Bring all of your friends and hear the message on prophecy that will soon make headlines. All right, tonight, in just a moment, I want to bring you a message of something my dad said. When I was a young boy, he said something to me one day. He said, "Never say never." He said, "Only God has the right to say never. Don't say your children will never do thus and so. They might do that very thing." He said, "Never say that you won't get cold on the Lord. You may get cold. You might quit the church. You may get so disappointed and discouraged that you turn back." He said, "Never say never." And later, after his funeral, after I preached his funeral, I found in the Bible where a fellow said never. And you know when he said it? It was in the shadow of the cross. Right in the shadow. That's sacred ground. The cross is sacred. I mean, you know, I've been on top of Calvary so many times. But I always felt like taking off my shoes and just tiptoeing. One time I crawled on my stomach to where the blood came down. You say that's foolish. No. I want to tell you, God's no respecter of people or persons. But I believe there's a little spot outside Jerusalem that God loves more than any other place on this earth. It's called Calvary. It's called the place of redemption where he redeemed mankind after man fell. I'm glad Calvary came along. Aren't you? And in Calvary, brother, we were reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you have your Bible tonight, I want you to look at something. Real quickly, I'll get right into the message. The Bible said, Matthew chapter 26. We're getting close now to the Garden of Gethsemane, and we're standing in the shadow of Calvary. And our Lord turns and begins to speak to Simon Peter. And I want you to notice chapter 26. And verse 31, let's stand all over the house for the reading of the Word of God. Notice verse 31. Listen as we read the Bible. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Now look at something I want to give you. That bothered me for years. He said, when the shepherd's smitten, the sheep will be scattered abroad. And did you know at Calvary, when Jesus Christ was smitten, all of the sheep were scattered. But if you look in chapter 24 of the book of Luke, before he left the world, 40 days after the resurrection, they were all back with him. And they watched him go away. He'd gathered his sheep back before he left. Boy, I like that. He won't leave his sheep scattered. Oh, sir, he won't leave them scattered. So he said, after he's smitten, the sheep shall be scattered. Look at verse 32. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended of thee, or be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He said, there's one thing about it, I won't be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise, also said all of the disciples. And for years, I never noticed this last part of this verse. Not only did Simon Peter deny the Lord, they all denied him. They all forsook him. And I want to say to you, Simon Peter was the spokesman of the chairman of the disciples, if you want to name him that. And he said, there's one thing about it, Jesus. You may die up yonder, but I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, tonight, oh, listen to me, you're going to deny me thrice. And I want you to know, my friend, Simon Peter said, never, never. In just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message tonight. Would you be seated first and bow your head for just a word of prayer? Father, how we thank you tonight for the church, for the people. How we thank you for the good singing. Lord, I'm glad heaven did come down. Oh, that one day, according to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, there will be heaven on earth, and the kingdom of God will be on earth, and there will be peace, and there will be joy. Oh, but we can have that personal peace tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can enjoy that heaven that he was talking about, a little heaven to go to heaven in. But that person that's lost, that person that's without Christ, oh God, speak to that mother, speak to that dad, that son or daughter here tonight. And then, Lord, for our hearts who know the Lord, I pray you'll touch us tonight. May we leave here and say that we've been in the presence of the Holy One. Bless the good pastor of the church. Oh, we thank you for this great man that's been faithful down through the years. Bless him and bless these people. And now, Father, bless the word of God. And we'll thank you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. And for a few moments, I'm going to speak to you on never say never. Here's a man named Simon Peter. And he said, Lord, you're going to die on that cross, but I want to tell you something. If they put me in prison, I'll not deny you. He said, never, even though I die. Now think about this. If this was something, if Jesus ever needed a friend, it was now. And Simon Peter said, I'll never deny thee. Let me, because of time, get right into the message. There are three reasons why Simon Peter denied the Lord. You say, what were they? First of all, he followed too far off. Folks, let me tell you, if you're not close to Jesus in this sinful, adulterated world, mister, you'll find that you'll be a long ways from being what God wants you to be. And Simon Peter followed afar off. If you have time tonight before you go to bed, you read Genesis chapter 32. And there's Jacob wrestling with God. And as he said, I will not let you go. Years ago, a man wrote a beautiful hymn from that. Nearer, my God, to thee. Oh, let me say tonight, we need to say nearer to thee. Instead of walking afar off, we need to get as close as we can to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, not only did he fall afar off, but the second thing, he tried to fellowship with the wrong crowd. The Bible said he got with the fire and warmed where those enemies of Christ were. I want to tell you, I can't fellowship with that crowd. Man that denies the Bible and denies the blood. I cannot fellowship with that crowd. This crowd out here that tells nasty jokes. This crowd out here that curses. I just don't feel right in that crowd. But you get, let me get among God's people where they talk about Jesus, where they talk about the Bible, where they believe something, and I can have fellowship. What a blessing. But here he is. He followed afar off. He tried to fellowship with the wrong crowd. Number three, he failed to stand up when he should have stood. Oh, if Jesus ever needed a friend, mister, there in the shadow of that cross, what a blessing he would have been to Jesus if old Simon Peter had walked over and said, Lord, I'm not going to deny it. Really, Lord, I'm going to be there when they whip you. I'll be there when they put their crown of thorns on your head. I'll be there when they deliver you up to be crucified. But it happened just as Simon said it wouldn't happen. He said it'll never happen. Now, if you have your pencils tonight, I want to mention five things that God says will never happen. Now, when God says that you can put her down, mister, it'll never happen. Number one, the church will never go down. I hear people say, Preacher Mays, did you know the church is going to finally go? No, we're going up. Praise the Lord. The church is going up. Now, you put that down, mister. We may wobble on the axle, but I want to tell you, brother, we're going up. And what a blessing that is. Somebody said the church, there are a lot of churches closing up, third-rate amusement centers and things like that that call themselves churches. But I want you to notice in Matthew 16, Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, and he said, Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? They looked puzzled at one another. And the Bible said, Then one said, You Jeremiah, you cry. Boy, I'm glad the Lord cried. And another said, I'll tell you, You're John the Baptist. You thunder about judgment. And another said, You're one of the prophets. And then Jesus turned and he said to Simon Peter, He said, But whom do you say I am? Whom do ye say that I am? Here's old Simon standing up now. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, Jesus said, Blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Then he continues, and he said, Upon this rock, I will, and he will. When God said, I will, he will. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank God, the church of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, will never go down. In the book of Ephesians, the church is called three things. I want you to write them down. First, it's called a building, a spiritual house of spiritual stones. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad I'm one of those living stones. Now, the church is not brick and mortar. The church is a spiritual house. What a blessing. It's called a building. Secondly, it's called a body. I like that. Oh, we're bone of his bone, and we're flesh of his flesh. Now, that's a miracle. You know that, brother? We're the body of Christ, the head. You say, where is the head? Not Nashville. Amen. Not Murfreesboro, not Rome, Italy. The head's up in heaven. Hallelujah. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that a blessing? The head. And one day the head and the body will be reunited. And oh, you say, but that's a mystery. It sure is, but I believe it. Praise God, I don't have any doubt about it. This book says it, and I believe it. Now, my wife's real quiet, and she doesn't. Now, like funny things. Like, I like funny things. I don't know about y'all. I like something funny. And I remember I call her every day. And I called her and asked her how many calls and what state radio stations didn't get takes and all of that. But I called her one day and she said, Mace, I just heard the best sermon. Oh, said it was so wonderful. Said, that preacher said Well, when you marry, you're one in one. Said, just two become one. And said, you're bone of bone and flesh of flesh. My right leg had been killing me all day long. I'd hurt all day long. And you know what my wife said? And Mays, not only did he say that we're one, but he said, if your husband's not here, part of you's up there and part of him's down here. And she said, did you know that part of me's up there and part of you's down here? I said, honey, do you know whether you got the right leg or the left leg? I said, I hope you get this right one. It's killing me. I want you to know. But you hear me, the Bible says, and we're bone of bone. It's a body. Listen quickly. Let me give you the third thing. It's a bride. Oh, I love that. The church is a bride. You know when you're the prettiest ladies? When you got married. You didn't come out with your hair and rollers. Bless God. You had everything. I mean, you looked the best you've ever looked. I mean, it was something. And here comes the bride. Now, let me give you just two things quickly. Now, one thing. There are two beautiful brides in the Bible that came from bleeding sides. The first beautiful bride, she didn't have a wrinkle. She didn't have a blemish. Her name was Eve, the mother of living. And God took from Adam a rib and shed blood. And out of his side came the first bride. But I know something better than that. 1900 years ago, they stuck a spear into the side of Jesus. And out came the most beautiful bride, the church of the living God. Brother, that's a wonderful thing. These brides came from bleeding sides. And so number one, the church will never go down. Secondly, the covenants of God can never be broken. Now, you may break them. You may break your covenant. It means promise. But God's covenants can never be broken. Somebody said there are 33,000 promises. I don't know, but every one of them is guaranteed by heaven. Praise the Lord. You hear me, mister, tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Put it down. When God makes a covenant, he never breaks it. He can't break it. I'm glad he's immutable. He cannot break his promises. When I got saved in North Carolina State University, I never will forget. God made me, I found two promises that night. He said, you'll never be alone. I'll tell you, boy, I like that. Did you know all these years, Brother Nays, all these years, praise God, I'll tell you, I've never been alone. Amen. And secondly, he told me, you'll never thirst again. I mean, I got a drink from the fountain where you never thirst after that. What a blessing it is. But you say, what about the covenants of God? Judges 2 and verse 1 said, and his covenant shall never be broken. Let me give you just three quickly tonight. Three covenants that will never be broken. The first one I'll mention was to Noah. He said, I'll put a rainbow in the cloud. And I'll make a covenant. This world will never be destroyed by water again. I saw a beautiful rainbow up in Charleston, West Virginia last week. And I looked at that rainbow and I said, praise the Lord. I'm glad God made a covenant with Noah. And it will never be broken. Brother, you talk about a blessing. It's a blessing. Of course, don't tell your child what my mother and dad told me up in the mountains about rainbows. They said, if you go to find the end of that rainbow, you'll find a pot of gold. I ran my legs off and I never have found any gold. Say amen. Brother, I went to every end I could find, and I never did find there was any gold. But God said, I'll make a covenant. Number two, he made a covenant with Abraham. Now, Abram was called Abram first, Genesis chapter 12. And God said, Abram. Later on, he went down to see Melchizedek, and he paid tithes, and God put the ham on his name. Say amen right there. You say, I'm eating fatback. Try tithe, then you may have some ham tomorrow morning. Amen. And Abraham was called Abraham, the father of the faithful. Now listen to me. And God made him a promise. He said, I'll bless them that bless thee. Now you know why I believe God ended that war and gave us victory so quick? You know why? First, there's too many prayers going up. Oh, I know we had the best. We had the latest in technology and warfare. But I'll tell you, these little mothers down on their knees and these wives, thank God, God said, I got to do something. Amen. But the second reason, America stood by Israel, and God said, I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. Now, quickly, and I'll have to hurry on. If you ever come to Atlanta, go somewhere besides the Braves and the Falcons. Preachers used to come see me in Atlanta. Now, they don't even blow the horn when they pass by. They go somewhere else. Now, listen to me. But there's a place called Whitehall Street. And you know who lives on Whitehall Street and who does business? Jews. Big red noses. And they live there. And every time I get a chance, I go down on Whitehall, and I see an old Jew run out, and I'll slap him on the back and say, bless him good, Jesus. You say, you're crazy. God said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. Boy, I'll bless every Jew I can find. Say amen. And God will never break his covenant. Now, number three, let me quickly. God made a covenant with Moses. He said, Moses, way down in Egypt land, I'm going to pass through one night. I'm going to make a blood covenant. And boy, I want to tell you, the blood has never lost its power. Aren't you glad it's still the blood? Aren't you glad that sinners plunged beneath that flow lose all their guilty stain? And God said, Moses, when you put your diploma out there, I won't pass by. And when you put your good works out there, I won't pass by. Hey, Moses, when you put your clubs and this and that and the other, I won't pass by. But if you'll take a piece of hyssop and tell them to take and place it on the lintels of the doorpost, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Mister, that's the Bible. And remember, the church can never go down. The covenants of God will never be broken. Number three, write this down. Charity will never fail. Now, you need to try it. Somebody said, oh, yes, it will. No, it won't. It'd be a lot better in your home if you had a little charity. Say amen. Now, y'all quit looking around. Bless God, look at me when I'm preaching. I want you to get this. Have charity is the best thing. Oh, to have love in your home. What is a home? I went home last week up in Charleston. Man, it was nice. And I'm not here to criticize. Bless God, I wished it had cost $1.5 million. I'm not here if they put Jesus first in that home. I don't care whether it's a little shack by the side of the road or a mansion on the hilltop. If Jesus is not in it, it's not much, mister. And if Jesus is not in it, chances are there won't be any love manifested. Now, some people can't do this. I just naturally can. My daddy used to come up in the mountains, and it was kind of odd. He'd come in tired. I mean tired, headaches and trouble. And he'd lay that old empty lunchbox down in the evening, and he'd say, Lillian, I love you. And he'd look over my brother and he'd say, Fred, I love you. And then he'd look over and say, Mace Jr., I love you. And I'll tell you, when I stood over his body and preached his funeral, I said, Daddy, I'm going to miss you. And you say, I love you. You say, well, it does a lot for you. You hear me? It does a lot. My Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. Faith and hope will pass away. But he said, charity will never fail. Oh, you hear me? Love will never fail. Now I hear somebody say, well, Brother Mace, I don't have any love in my home. I'm sorry for you. Oh, I'm sorry for you. I like that love. Now, I know it's silly, but I like it. If you'll go with me after the service, we'll go in the office there. And I'll ring my wife and just grunt. She'll know it's me. You know, first thing she'll say, Merry Christmas. You say, well, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. A year ago Christmas, my wife was standing, and we had our family together, and she said, you know, it's been the love of God that's kept us together. And she said, this is a day of giving and a day of happiness and a day when we celebrate God's gift to the world. She said, let's make every day Christmas. And I'll show you if you want to. After service, we'll call her. And she'll say, Merry Christmas. You say, well, Mays, that sounds obsolete. Well, boy, it sure does help me when I'm down. I'll say, thank God. God so loved the world that he gave. What are you going to give today, Mace Jackson? And what are you going to give today here? What did you give today? Did you give that love? I'll tell you, we need love. We'll never, never pass away. There's a preacher, he preached one time on coals, heaping coals of fire upon their heads. Had an old woman in church, he griped. I don't blame her husband. I wouldn't come to church either. And she griped all the time. She'd go home and fuss at him. She went up after that great sermon, and the preacher said, did it help you, sister so-and-so? And she said, it did. But she said, my husband won't talk to me, and he won't come to church, and I fuss at him all the time. And the preacher said, why don't you try heaping coals of fire upon his head? She said, I tried scalding water, and that didn't do any good. Did you know anything else? And somebody said, preacher, brother, that's the trouble. We try scalding water. And that love, now you hear me, if you miss everything else, and I'm going to try to help you every night. I want you to take some home. I told you, good pastor today, I said, I don't want people to come not get anything. I want you to take some home. Try more love. Oh, listen to me. I want to tell you, when you go into a room where there's love, it makes the difference. What a blessing it is. I told him, my daddy was very brilliant, and he never went off to college. He took 2 years in a little junior college up there at home, and he took a Bible course from a Bible school back many, many years ago. But my daddy had real reason, and he could reason about things. And I was telling him today as we sat at lunch, I said, my daddy said, there are only two qualifications that a pastor must have to be a good pastor. And I sat there and I said, Daddy, what are they? He said, first, your pastor's got to love the Lord. He said, no man can pastor God's flock without loving the Lord. And then he said, the second qualification, he must love his people. Oh, the people, the little sheep that God's given him to lead. He must love his people. He said, now a good personality will help, and a good delivery will help, and an education will help. But he said, they'll know if you love them. They'll know if you're trying to help them. And folks, listen to me tonight, just as sure as there's a God in heaven, my name's Mace Jackson. When there's love in the church, it'll cover a multitude of faults. And listen, when there's love in the home, it'll cover a multitude of things. Not only, my friends, listen to me, charity will never fail. Number four, the Christian will never be alone. I've never been alone since Jesus saved me. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. I've had friends to turn their backs on me. I've had people that, you know, wouldn't know me later and turn back. But you hear me? I met a friend 50 years ago now. Oh, how blessed it is. I met a friend. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I'm up. And I've never been alone where I couldn't turn around and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you, precious Lord. I need you. I want you to know, my friend, tonight, the Christian will never be alone. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. And if you want a friend that'll leave this church with you, if you want a friend that'll never turn his back on you, if you want a friend that'll be there until you cross over Jordan. I never will forget my mother. She was a sweet person. But the family, I didn't like where her family acted. And I told them about it. Somebody said, did you tell them? I sure did. I preached the other day at Bavard, and I said, down this road, I've got enough kinfolk to fill this church up three times. And they came, my kinfolk. And I told them, and I told my mother, she had four sisters. They were all married. And when they got ready to go on vacation, they left their husband and children, and the five sisters went on vacation. Now, I told Mama, I said, I wouldn't allow that. If you listen, if I'd daddy, I'd tell you, something's going to change around here. I said, when I go on vacation, I want my wife, and I don't want to run off with her sisters. Now, maybe you say, well, they're close. They were close. One of them had a toe ache. The other four had to have a leg amputated every time. Say amen. Brother, that's so. That's so. But I want you to know, mister, I went down the hall when mother was dying at the hospital in Hendersonville. I was in a meeting in Danville, Virginia. I never will forget it. I walked down the hall and one of her sisters said, if you loved your mother like she loves you, you'd cancel that meeting out and stay here. I said, Mitzi, come here, dear. I want you to go get Eldora. I want you to get all of those sisters. And we're going in and talk to my mother. And if she wants me to cancel those meetings out, I'll be glad to. We went in there, and they were standing there at the edge of the bed, and they were all crying. I said, Mother, I want to ask you something. Oh, she looked up and said, why'd you leave that meeting, boy? I said, well, I'm going back if you want me to. Sure, I want you to. She said, if you was here when I crossed the river, you couldn't go but to the river. May, she said, when I was a little girl, I met a friend. And not only will he go with me to the river, he'll take me across. And said, all you could do is go to the river. I said, your sisters here want me to cancel the meeting. Mom, I'll be glad to. Mother, tears came in her eyes, and she's eaten up with cancer. She said, I wouldn't have it. She said, every night at 7:30, I've prayed for years. When my boy gets in that pulpit, may they see Jesus. And may people be blessed and help. And may sinners come to know God. And may the Christians get stirred up to go out and do something for Jesus. Mother said, you're going back to that meeting. Said, Jesus is right here in this room, and he'll be here. Oh, you said, Christian. Now last but not least, put this down. Not only Christians never be alone, but the consuming fires of hell will never go out. I wish that wasn't in the Bible. But it is, and I believe it. And I believe every bit of it. But it says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is never quenched. You hear me tonight. Oh, the consuming fires of hell will never go out. I was busy the other day, or I made this excuse. I hope God will forgive me. My mother had a nephew, and he thought the world of her. And when she was lying corpse that night in the hospital, in the funeral home, I said, Frank, you go in yonder. There's your last hope. Mama's gone. You told me if anybody ever led you to Jesus, it'd be my mother. But I said, Frank, you've had your mind on money, 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 and things and things. I said, you've got your priorities wrong. I said, in there lies my mother. She didn't have too much down here, but she laid a lot up over yonder where thieves would not break in and steal and moth would not corrupt. I said, she laid it over yonder, Frank. Frank has a beautiful home. Coming out of Hendersonville, he built a lake, and in the middle of that lake, he put an island. You can't get over to his house unless you go over a bridge. He's out there. He lives on a little island, and it's beautiful. And I passed by it, but I was in such a hurry the other day. And I got out on the road, and God said, but wait, Frank's lost. Lost! He's got that place. And he's turned down $1.5 million for it, but he's lost, Mays. And I got out on the road, and I called him, and I said, Frank, listen. Boy, he said, Mays, I'd like to see you, boy. He said, I'd like to see you. He said, I hear you on the radio once in a while. I'd like to see you. He said, you know, I meet up with cancer. I said, Frank, all that you've got's not going to do you any good. I said, you hear me? I said, trust Jesus. One day you'll draw your last breath, and then you'll step into eternity, and the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations shall forget God. Bible said the rich man died and in hell lifted up his eyes. And he said, Abraham, I'm tormented. And the sad thing about it, that was 1900 years ago. and he's still being tormented. What a terrible thing it is. I was in West Virginia last week, and some of our big stations are in West Virginia. And we've been on WWVA in Wheeling for years. That's the big station there. I guess I've been on 25, maybe 30 years. But I have some precious friends. Years ago, I went over for a meeting, and Brother Earl Thomas said, there's a little town, mining town. 1,100 people live in that town, Mays. I'll guarantee you 1,000 of them heard you on the radio. And it said, there's been a cave-in in the big mine down there. 27 are going to die in that mine. He said, if you feel like it tomorrow, I want to drive you down there. I believe you can help those precious people. And so to make a long story short, we went down the next morning. They had their yellow ribbons and the ropes so people couldn't get close to the entrance of the mines. And I remember an old preacher there, he got up and he said, folks, we got to trust God now. And a mother said, wait a minute, my husband's down there and he's going to burn. And boy, they started screaming. And finally, they came out and the head of the mining company said, we're going to have to burn out the mine. Said, they're not alive anyway. And boy, when they said, go to your little churches, I'm telling you, the militia, the highway patrolman there, started pushing the people back. And when we got back a certain distance, a little girl broke loose about 13 or 14 years of age and ran toward the mine pit. And a nice highway patrolman tackled her as tenderly as he could. And he put her up on his shoulder and cried. He said, there's nothing you can do. You've got to stay away from this mine pit. It may blow up. And you know what she said? She said, my daddy's down there in that mine. My only brother's down there in that mine. And they wouldn't leave me if I was going to burn up. And I'm not going to leave them. And that nice highway patrolman tenderly led her away. And I thought how terrible it'd be to have a daddy to burn, to have an only brother to burn. But that's just for a few seconds. What about a daddy that would die and the consuming fires of hell, knowing they'd never go out? What about a brother that dies in your family and slides into hell where the consuming fires of hell would never go out? Jesus on that cross tasted hell and death for every man. Now he says, you don't have to go. Well, you don't have to go. What a blessing it is to know that he paid the price. And he'll never go back on that promise. If you will come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. Ever hit about it. Did exactly opposite. Right there in the side of the Garden of Gethsemane. Right there under the shadow of Calvary. Mister, he did what he said he wouldn't do. He denied the Lord. Let me ask you this. Did you deny the Lord today? Did you have the privilege of standing up for Jesus? But you denied him? Oh, you denied him. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, I will be ashamed of you. How many of you here tonight say, preacher? Oh, I know the consuming fires of hell will never go out. And I've got a loved one, and I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, I'm saved, but I want my loved ones and my friends saved. Would you slip up that hand and hold it just a moment? You've got somebody in your family, somebody lives nearby. You want to really see them saved and want to get them to Jesus before it's too late? Just keep your hand up a moment. Lord, you see these hands. Now, Lord, we won't have but till Sunday afternoon. And I pray that before Sunday afternoon, we'll get those loved ones, if possible, here to the house of God. But if not, may your loving arm reach out. And may your loving arm pick them up out of the gutters of sin and save our lost loved ones. Lord, Frank's not dead, are we under? Oh, God.